Ephesians chapter 4. You got it? Say amen. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and we looked at chapter 2 recently, and of course, we're just following in that same book. It's not really a schedule to be here, but just by prayer and the leadership of the Lord, let's hope. But in chapter 4 and verse number 11, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus says, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. You know what I've noticed is not everybody's reached by the same type of outreach. Different people will reach different people. Would you believe that there are people who, when I talk to them about Jesus, only think I'm doing it because that's what I get paid to do? And so they may not be reached when I talk to them about Jesus because that's my job. Now, don't tell them, okay? But it's your job too. It's all of our job. I don't talk to people about Jesus because I'm a preacher or because I'm a pastor. I talk to them about Jesus because Jesus changed my life. Because Jesus saved my soul. So why do I read the Bible? Because I'm a preacher? Because I'm a pastor? I read the Bible because it is the Word of God. Because it inspires me and challenges me and changes me. And because through reading it, it changes my way that I see the world. It changes my perspective. It changes my vision. It changes my expectation. So as a Christian, I do. Now, God gave some apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There are all different kinds of workers in the ministry of the gospel. So I don't know what your style is in presenting the gospel. I don't know if your style of presenting Jesus is simply an invitation to church, which is something. Or if it's a handing somebody a gospel tract, that's something. Or if it is to take someone by the shoulder and say, are you going to heaven when you die? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I don't know what your style is, but we all need to be doing it, whatever form it takes. We all need to be reaching people with the message of Christ. But he says in the church, he has put some people there for this purpose. Look at this next verse, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. So God has this desire that we, the church, should reach the world with the gospel. How many of you believe that's God's purpose? Raise your hand. Come on, let me see it. All right? So God's purpose in the church is to get the gospel to the world. But he's got another purpose within the church. And the purpose within the church is to develop us, number one, as individuals. That each of us should grow in our faith, as the Bible puts it, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So each of us should be growing in our faith, growing in our closeness and likeness to Christ, each of us. And then this, that we should be working together. That there should be a cohesion in the church. That there should be in this church, and I appreciate Brother Ivy's testimony, the outreach and the love. And Brother Robert's testimony, the outreach and the love. You know, it might be a card, it might be a phone call, it might be a visit, it might be a text. But something. Something that says you're part of my family. And you're an important part of my family. We need to have that. Look at that, perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. Let me tell you something. If we're squabbling in the church, if we're fighting in our ranks one with another, we're not going to be able to make a difference in this world. If we're struggling to get along in this room, we cannot be effective out there. But our function is out there. Our purpose is out there. So we've got to protect what goes on in here. And we've got to be intentional about what goes on in here. And I hope, even though I wasn't able to visit with our visitors this morning. I hope that they felt a sense that the people in this room are glad you're here. I hope you felt that sense and get that sense. And when you leave, you'll have that sense that this was a friendly, happy place, even though they sing Rejoicing with a Frown. All right. For the working of the ministry. Look at this. Look at this. Verse 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ. God wants us to be edified. God wants us to be the happiest people in the world. How many of you really see that there? God wants us to have our joy, our peace, our hope. We should have a hold on that. Guys, I know life hits you, punches you in the stomach, knocks you down, kicks you while you're down there. And I know that. But in all that we go through, we should never lose our connection and our faith and our hope and our love. Verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith. The unity. The unity. Guys, it's going to be hard. I'll leave that comment out. It's going to be hard to find unity in our United States. It's not new. It's been that way. But we ought to be able to find unity in here. We ought to be able to get along in here, even if we have political differences. Even with that, we ought to be able to get along. No matter what. Now, are we going to draw the line somewhere and say, I can't stand with you on that? Yes, we are. Yeah, there's some things that go against God's word. You can preach the Bible and stay out of politics and just preach the Bible and make your case. So that's what we should do. But there will be differences. But we ought to be able to be united in our purpose, in our mission. And once we're no longer united in our mission, there's no reason for us to be here. When we've lost a vision of our mission, of God's purpose. Till we all come in the unity, verse 13, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How are we going to grow? How do we see? What are those benchmarks where we look at Capitol Heights Baptist Church as a church? And where we look at the members of Capitol Heights Baptist Church as members, as Christians? What are the benchmarks that show us that it's either a point to come into church or pointless to come to church? At what point do we examine that? At what point do we measure that? I'll tell you when we should measure it. We should measure it at the end of this sermon. We should measure it along the way during this message. We should be in constant evaluation and reevaluation of who we are individually and as a church. And as we start to point fingers and say, well, our church is not doing this, don't forget you're part of that. Our church should be doing this. Guys, I love it. I go all the way back to a young man who joined a church. I can't even recall his name, but he's a nice guy. We were in seminary together. He joined this church in town, and he sat in on a business meeting. Now, this church had globes. Y'all ever been in churches that have those big globes? And they hang down from the ceiling, and it was kind of high. And the pastor said in the business meeting, is there anything that anybody has to bring up in the business meeting? This young man, boy, he was so excited. And the pastor called on him. And I'd say he's probably 19, 20 years old. He said, Pastor, these globes need to be cleaned. The pastor said, we'll make sure you have access this week to get it done. Oops. Guys, you understand, this is our church. This is our responsibility. It's not one person's, it's ours. So if you see something, and that's a material, mechanical, that's not, there's ministry. The globes are not going to make a difference. Now, the lights need to be replaced, they need to be replaced. And I think everything ought to be functioning the way it should. But our focus ought to be on ministry. Yes, I know, guys, y'all are looking now. Yes, there's four lights out over there. working on it. He says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's this desire, this purpose, this function in the church that each one of us should be growing in our faith. You want to know how you're going to do that? You pray. You're going to read your Bible. You're going to be involved in the church service. Now, I know we've got brothers and sisters who are not here this morning, and they're watching from other places for many different reasons. But they've taken the time to tune in. And that's part of their process of growing. It's part of our process being here of growing. But if you just get 30 minutes on Sunday morning, you're not going to grow very much. How many of y'all eat more than 30 minutes a week? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. There are people who get caught up in every new fad of ministry and religion, and they're not anchored, they're not rooted, they're not grounded, they're tossed. Always chasing, well, this will change. Let me tell you something. And again, I've been doing this for a long time. I can tell you one thing that works. It's that right there. Well, we ought to have a skateboard ministry. Have one, that's fine. Okay? I'll be investing my time right here. Well, we need to change up the music. All right, well, you come forward with the plan. I like what we got right here just fine. But we'll try to introduce yours if you want to. What, I don't know. I'll stick with this right here. I'm going to tell you what works. When I was a youth pastor, I know that there's all kind of ideas about what will work to build a youth department. Let me tell you what works. When I took those young people in the classroom on Wednesday night until we outgrew that room and outgrew the next room, because they were hungry for one thing. They were hungry for the Word of God. You know what they can get anywhere else? They can get Hollywood anywhere else. They can get rock and roll anywhere else. They can get activity anywhere else and adrenaline anywhere else. You want to know what they need? They need the Word of God. Well, our church doesn't have that fast music. Then listen to it on your way to church and on your way home from church. But don't mess with what we're doing that works. And I see a lot of people, and by the way, they say, well, who's talking? Nobody is. I'm just bringing it up as an example. But I'm telling you, what works is the Word of God. That's what works. And we need to stick to the book. Stick to the book. Don't be chased around. And then some YouTube preacher will come on and all of a sudden, I'm telling you, it's dangerous. I have no desire to hush by fiat any preacher on television, radio, or internet. I think that's wrong. Do with it what you will. But you better be careful who you're listening to. And you better make sure that they're preaching the Word of God and that they're straight on the Word of God. Because you can get taken away by every wind of doctrine. That's what he says here. And we've lost preachers. We've lost churches. We've lost people who were new in the faith because they went another direction. And I'm telling you something. I know there's all kind of denominations. And living in a free country, I'm okay with that. But there's only one truth. And so if you and I disagree on what the Bible says about something, there's a possibility of two things. One of us is wrong, or both of us are wrong. But we can't both be right and disagree on what the Bible says. The Bible says what it says. That we henceforth be no more children, immature, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men, all the manipulation. You ever heard one of them silver tongue preachers? And cunning craftiness. Guys, that's the reason it's so important for me to stay in it. Buy the book. Buy the book. Buy the book. Anybody could take a phrase out of the Bible and just run off at the mouth of his opinion. We take it line by line. Yes, there is exposition inserted in there. They lie in wait to deceive. But, okay, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to be fickle children, easily swayed and led away by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. We're going to be a church that's growing individually and together as a church. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, How lovingly do we speak the truth? It'd be very easy to get up and be hateful all the time when you preach. I hope you don't ever get that idea about me. And every once in a while, there may be a line in there that gets you crossways because you're probably on the wrong end of it. But it's never intended to hurt you. It's always preached with love. Speaking the truth in love. You want to know why I'm preaching this morning? Because I love y'all. That's why. That we may grow up into Him in all things. Look at that. That we may grow up into Him in all things. You see, what Paul keeps pressing here is that we are supposed to become more and more like Jesus. That when people see us, they see the walking Word of God. That when people hear us speak, they hear the mindset of God, the heart of God coming from our lips. That's the goal. If your goal is not to become more like Jesus, why are you here? That's the goal. Toward your husband, you are supposed to be more like Jesus. Toward your wife, you are supposed to be more like Jesus. Toward your parents, you are supposed to be more like Jesus. Toward your children, you are supposed to be more like Jesus. Your neighbors, your friends, your enemies. Do they see Jesus in you? Because that's the point of this, is that we will grow up into Him, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What is a joint? You know what a joint is? A joint is Brother Henry and Brother Adam. Their relationship, that is a joint. That is where two things come together. And Brother Chuck, that's where two things come. It is our relationships. It is our connection. That is this joint he's talking about here. So through our relationships within the church, the whole body fitly joined together. Now what does that mean? That means that if you and I are not getting along, if our relationship is strained or broken or out of joint, that the church is not functioning as it should. It can still function. How many of you have sprained an ankle or dislocated a joint somewhere and continued? Right? I had a football coach in high school, and he used to play at Ole Miss. And he'd always say, "I broke my leg, played two more quarters." May be the case. I know Andrew broke his back and he still wanted to play. That desire to connect, but you know what? You won't function at your best level. If our relationships are severed or broken or hurt in here, if any one of us, any two of us are out of joint, this church cannot function like it should. Now, I know you don't all know each other and you don't all mingle together and you don't all run together. I get that. But in the ones that we do, our joints, our relationships, our connections ought to be whole. They ought to be well. That which every joint, every relationship in here supplies something to the whole body. Every relationship in here contributes to the whole function of the church. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So what we are doing, we talked about how we deal with the world. We're talking about how we deal with each other. And it says, to the edifying of itself in love. This church, Capitol Heights Baptist Church, has to have some priority in your life. And not just a place you drop in at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. If you're going to help build it. If you're going to be part of the future of it. Not just some place you park yourself for a half hour or 45 minutes. It has to be in your heart and in your mind and in your prayers. He goes on and he says this in verse 17, that we walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. We need to humble ourselves. And let me just say this very lovingly. Get over yourself. I've seen so much bitterness, ugliness. Get over yourself. In the last year, get over yourself. Relax. Humble yourself. Lay down your ego. I think it was Brother Robert put something up on Facebook the other day. He said, this is how I'm going to settle every argument this year. Oh, you're right. See you. Now, we can't settle every argument that way. But the point was, I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to engage. Now, I will tell you this. There will be some arguments that I will engage in if they matter. The difference is knowing which ones matter and which ones don't. That's what we've got to choose. And so, look at what he says, verse 17. Not in the vanity of your mind. What are you thinking you're going to accomplish by this? This arguing, this debate, this whatever it is we're doing. Don't walk in trivial matters. Don't live in trivial matters. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Guys, this is something I want you to understand about people in the world who want to fight against your faith. They don't get it. They can't see it. How can I expect somebody who has not given their lives to Jesus, who has not walked with God, to understand everything I believe about the Bible? From Adam and Eve, I believe it. The garden, I believe it. Six-day creation, I believe it. To the rapture, to the tribulation, to the millennial reign, to heaven for eternity. I can't expect those people out there who are blind and ignorant to what I know, to accept that. And so what I will do is I'll try to work on things that are a little more elementary for them. Pastor, you believe Jonah in the well? I believe Jonah in the well. Yeah, I believe it. Now that might be hard for you to understand, but that's okay, because these verses right here talks about that. They're blind to it. Guys, don't get mad at them. They can't see it. It'd be like me getting mad at the baby because he can't talk. I already know what his siblings do. They talk all the time. I know he'll get there. So why would I fuss at him? And look, it's like me being mad because they don't understand their math or their... It can get frustrating. But how can you yell at a kid for not knowing what they don't know? And why should we be angry at the world for not knowing what they don't know? It's our job to educate. It's our job to persuade. It's our job to preach. Look at verse 19. They being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He says, number one, their purpose is alienated from God. Number two, they can't see. They don't have the capacity, the ability to see it. And then number three, they're way past it. Look at what's going on in our world today. Guys, America's in a mess. Morally, that's what got us where we are in regards to everything else, is the moral conscience of our country. Whose fault is that? Better yet, whose responsibility is it to try to make a difference in that? It's ours. So what can we do? One at a time, the gospel. One at a time, Jesus. One at a time, salvation. One at a time, discipleship. Don't look at all the problems. Just look at what you can fix. Just look at what you can deal with. What you can manage. You have not so learned Christ, he says. Verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. We've got to leave that behind us. Look at verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, there it is. We talked about it Wednesday night, didn't we? Is that the flesh will give out. How many of you have been there? The flesh will give out. And how many of you have ever been asked to do something, and you might not have said it out loud, but you said it in your mind, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Amen. I'm there. The flesh will weary. The flesh will run out. And that's why it's so important that we be renewed in the spirit of our mind, that we be renewed in the inner man. How many of you have ever been so tired and somebody called that you just love talking to, and all of a sudden you had energy again? And somebody come along and you were weary and you were tired, and some company came up that you love and you hadn't seen in a while, and they said, hey, let's go do something. And you say, yeah, let's go. I think about fishing, Brother Mike, and you know what I think? I think it's a lot of work. But you know what I love? I love going fishing with my friends. I love it. My boys, I love hunting. I think about hunting and I think, oh, I got to get up so early, it's so cold. I think about all the times I've been fishing, it was 18 degrees outside. But now when I think about it, I just think, oh, it's just, or hunting, oh. But you know what will happen if somebody comes along and says, hey, you want to go? Yeah, let's go, let's go. You know what that is? Simple explanation. That's being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's finding motivation. So when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to preaching, when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to reading the Word of God, when it comes to spending time with God's people, same thing. Get that hope renewed. Verse 24, and put on the new man. That new attitude, that new persona, that new character. How many of you ever heard that a leopard can't change its stripes? Y'all remember who said that, don't you? A leopard can't change its spots. I did that on purpose, by the way. But you know what I've seen? I've seen Jesus change people. I've seen people who were so paralyzed by sin and by their past and by where they were in life that they didn't have any hope. And then Jesus came in and renewed their spirit, put on a new person. Jesus can do that. He goes on, he says some things here in verse 25. He says, put away lying. Speak the truth. Look at what he says at the end of verse 25. We are all members one of another. What you do is going to impact somebody else. People take their own lives and they think, well, that's, I'll just do that and that'll be the end of it. No. All the shockwave that goes through the family and through the community. It didn't stop anything. It just took you out of it. Guys, we are members one of another. What you do affects other people. If you do right, it affects other people. And if you do wrong, it affects other people. By the way, if you do nothing, it affects other people. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. You know what Paul just said to us? It's okay to be angry sometimes. How many of you are ever angry? Okay, I'm in good company. But you know what he said? He said, deal with it. Deal with it. Don't let it hold over. Don't let it boil over. Don't say, well, we'll deal with it later. Deal with it now. Deal with it now. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him room in your life. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Controlling our words, because words matter. Controlling our words, because once you say it, you can't take it back. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Rather, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Oh, I'm so glad I have that seal. I'm so glad that I don't ever have to worry about going to hell. Because I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I said, God, I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me, and I ask your forgiveness, and I surrender my life to you. And he wrote my name in the book of life in heaven. And he sealed me to the day of redemption, which means I can't get out of that deal. I'm glad. You're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, verse 31, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. Boy, this is relevant, isn't it? I've seen so much bickering. Again, I don't mean the people in this room. I mean in the world. Guys, wouldn't it be great if people... And how many of you know our radio commercial? Okay, most of you do. And how many of you hear it on radio? All right, from time to time. And I can remember when we actually started it on television. And I remember being at the house and washing dishes. And you know how it is, the house, you got all the kids and everything. Not nearly like it is today. I mean, back then. But I remember, you know, watching the news, and you have that guy from Ultimate Imajato. That's the guy, right? I mean, he's and then I hear this soft voice, God so loved the world. Sister Barbara and Brother Mike and Sister Denise reading the plan of salvation. Same thing happens on the radio, listening to the radio, and then all of a sudden, you know, you hear all these commercials, rah, 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 and all of a sudden, God so loved the world. What do you think would happen in the world with all the chaos if we would come along in a soft tone, for God so loved the world? Let's be that church. Let's be those people. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want you to have an opportunity this morning to come and kneel at the altar if you have a burden or a need. I'll be glad to share it with you. But most importantly, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, from where you are, you could pray and reach God. From your heart to God. Ask His forgiveness and surrender your life to Him. But if you want me to help you, I'll be glad to do that. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus, for your word. God, we want to be a church making a difference. Showing people the way of salvation, the way to heaven, the way to Jesus. God, we reflect this morning, we look at ourselves, we measure ourselves, and you know what we find? We find that we need to grow up. That we have work to do on us. So God, help us. Help us to be better, to do better. Live through us and love through us in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. Whatever your burden, whatever your need, you can pray from where you are. You can reach God where you are. But if you need guidance or you need help, I'll be right here to pray with you. Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Don't forget to be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. Any other announcements? Don't forget, if you want to sign up to help with the service for Robert's mom, for the food. If you'll see Sister Sonia
And if you want to help Sister Sharon with the Valentine's banquet, then she'll be glad for you to sign up with her. Anything else? Youth meeting this morning, youth planning meeting, and just come up here to the front and meet with Brother Josh, all right? God bless you. I love you. I'm glad you came today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?